I feel so honored and privileged to bring the word this morning. And there probably will be tears. And there's a part of me that wrestles with that. Because I'm like, man, I don't want to be the crying preacher. But then there's also a side of me that's like, man, this is actually passion out of radical life change and transformation from a life that was completely touched and transformed by Jesus. And I think it should move us to tears when we sit in that. And I just have to shout out, there are four legends in the room. Our pastors, Pastor Chris and Audrey, who are incredible. But then the ones who went before, Pastor Angel and Lucy, who are just, man, when I saw them in the room, they've been coming the last few weeks, but today was extra special to me because for those of you, most of you probably wouldn't know, I actually got saved at People Church going on 11, 12 years ago. And when I would tell you I was from the streets, your girl was fresh off of the streets. Like, showing up with sunglasses to church because it's just too bright, you know? And these incredible people, it's like I was a spiritual orphan, you know? And they took me in and they loved on me. They encouraged me. They spoke life into me. And there was nothing too crazy that I would ever confess in front of them that created a wedge, right? And what that did was it created an opportunity for me to fully understand the loving grace of a father, the loving grace of God, and it transformed my life. And so my hope for you today is that you would have just a touch of heaven, right? Like the full answer may not come through this word, but it'll be just a glimpse of the power that you have access to, of the grace you have access to, and of the love you have access to. Is that cool? Amazing. I'm gonna pray and then we're gonna get straight into it, okay? Father, I just thank you so much for the word and for your word, God, for the Bible. I thank you for the power that it gives us. I thank you for the authority. I thank you that you trust us to deliver your word, God. I pray for every single heart in this room, God, every distant heart, every confused heart, every resentful heart, every bitter heart, God. I pray, man, that you would take that heart of stone like Pastor Jake preached and that they would leave with a heart of flesh today, God, just one beating with new life. I just see it, God, the back of this message, just rivers of flowing water, just life coming back in, light coming into darkness, healing in the deepest pains. There's pains in this room that people don't know about, that people have not spoken, but you know, God, and you're going to meet them in that today, Jesus. We love you and we thank you. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. So this morning, oh, sorry, team, you could go. Thank you. This morning, I set my alarm. It went off at 4:30. Yeah, no, subtle flex. I'm just kidding. I'm trying to revisit my schedule. I'm usually up at 4:30, 4:45, but I don't know if it's working for me anymore. But today, my alarm went off, and I was stuck somewhere between a bad dream and is that really my alarm right now? Are you ever just sleeping so good that you hear it and you're like, what is that going off? Hello, it's my alarm. Now the dream. So I'm in this dream, I'm Puerto Rican, and in the dream, we're in the island, okay? We're in the island and it sounds like, how are you having a bad dream if you're on this sunny island of Puerto Rico? Let me tell you. So we are at my grandmother's house who lives in the country, which is the campo in Spanish. And in my dream, I wake up and I'm like looking around like, where is everybody? I'm probably like a teenage Eva. And I call my mom and I'm like, Mom, did you all really leave me? Pressed. You know that feeling when you know they're too far and they're not coming back for you? And you're just like, how did all of you forget about me? And then I was brought to this other moment. I love that Pastor Jakey opened talking about tools because when I was a kid, my dad was always building something. Do you guys remember Ace Hardware? Is that still around? Okay, cool. The only time I go to Ace now is to make a copy of a key or to get a random screw for someone to come put something up in my apartment because I'm not doing it. But anyways, I'm with my dad. And we're at an Ace Hardware, and I'm a kid, right? So I can't see beyond his legs. But I do remember having a moment where panic entered because I lost my dad. I couldn't find him. And I was reminded of this moment, actually down the front one weekend, I was worshiping. And I had a real honest moment with God where I just felt like, God, have you forgotten about me? There are desires in my heart. There are things that I'm waiting for. There are promises that I know you've spoken, but I still have not seen them come to pass. Have you forgotten about me? And I'm about to read to us a story that we're all pretty familiar with in one of the Gospels, and it's speaking the parable of the lost son. And, you know, I opened this with saying how radically God changed my life, so I know what it's like to be distant and far and come back home and receive the love of God. But I actually want to draw our attention to the older son in this story, because I think there's a really powerful story to unfold. So we could throw the scripture up on the screen. The parable of the lost son, it says, "He also said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me.' So he distributed the assets to them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all he had and traveled to a distant country where he squandered his estate in foolish living. After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck that country and he had nothing. So he went to work for one of the citizens of the country who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to eat his fill from the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one would give him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food, and here I am dying of hunger? I'll get up, go to my father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran, threw his arms around his neck, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.'" A quick note here. I love that embrace. And something I wanted to note from C.H. Spurgeon, he said, "Slow are the steps of repentance, but swift are the feet of forgiveness." But the father told his servants, "Quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it, and let's celebrate with the feast. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Dun, dun, dun. Enter the older son. Now his older son was in the field. As he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, so he summoned one of the servants, questioning what these things meant. "Your brother's here," he told him. "And your father slaughtered in the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and didn't want to go in. His brother became angry and didn't want to go in. So his father came out and pleaded with him, but he replied to his father, "Look, I've been slaving many years for you, and I have never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me a goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours," not my brother, he didn't even acknowledge him, his brother, a distant brother, "when this son of yours came, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him?" "Son," he said to him, "you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and alive again. He was lost and now is found." So see, when I look at this story, I don't see one prodigal, I see two. I see the son who left in the flesh, in the physical. He withdrew from his father, but there was a son who remained in the father's house, and he grew distant in his heart. He grew distant silently. There was a prodigal who was sitting in the house of the Lord, who was sitting in the house of his father, who has experienced, who has seen, who has tasted, but has grown bitter because he was consumed by his works. So my question to you is, what are the silent killers in your life? What are the silent idols in your life? What are the things that you are worshiping that are separating and creating a chasm from you in the heart of God? The title of my message today is Affairs of the Heart. Say that to your neighbor. Affairs of the heart. Affairs of the heart. You know what is so crazy about these things is they're sneaky. They're subtle. They're cunning. They're deceiving. Just a degree will separate you from the heart of God. And you know what blows my mind about the devil is that he had people in the promised land questioning God's goodness Did you hear that? The devil had people in the promised land actually questioning, is God really good? Did he bring us out here to die? No, he's actually on his way to set you free. The devil is cunning and he is sly and he is sneaky. And here's the reality. So as I was sitting on this and I was thinking about affairs of the heart, I'm like, man, in our heart, our motive is not to walk away from God. Our intent is not, I don't genuinely believe that we think we could fabricate and create a better life than God would for us. And if we do, I would love to meet you in the foyer because I feel like that's some type of audacity. If I could just be real honest. Excuse me. But I say that because what I realized through this was we don't realize the way God designed for us to operate in relationship with him. And I think when we could understand the value and the design, actually when we could understand the design of the relationship, we will understand the value and the weight it holds in our life. Let me give you a prime example, okay? So growing up, honestly, technology, I don't even know what it's called technology, but new moms, my goodness, there are so many gadgets and things that you all have now that back in the day, we did not have. So, I mean, I'm not a mom, but I had a lot of younger cousins that I was helping with different things. And as I was preparing this, I was thinking of a moment, Pastor Gio and Marlene, they went out of town for Pastor Marlene's birthday, and I was hanging out with the girls for the weekend. And I remember Marlene was like, hey, here's some medicine for Indy. Just be sure you give it to her before bed. I'm like, awesome. Mind you, I grew up in a time where it was like Flintstone vitamins and Tylenol with a spoon, right? That's how we did it at my grandma's house, and I was living. So I remember going to give Indy her medicine, and little Isa, I love her so much. So basically, there's a syringe that Marlene, this is so embarrassing, but I want to level with this, all right? Because we all have moments. So I'm trying to figure out how on earth do I get this medicine in this little syringe to then give it to Indy. So I'm sitting there, like, I literally took the syringe apart, and I'm like, do I put the spoon? And then Isa goes, my mommy doesn't do it like that. So then I quickly realized I'm doing this all wrong. Let me get this right. And my God, the ease to it, okay? And so when it comes to God, there is an ease and a value that comes when we understand the type of relationship that God wants to have with us. So the rest of my time, I'm going to talk to you about a covenant relationship with God, okay? Everybody say covenant relationship. Amazing. I'm going to do a little bit of reading so that we're all on the same page and have the same definition because definitions matter. So covenant defined, it says, the covenant is central to God's relationship with mankind. God uses his covenanted relationships with people to accomplish his purposes throughout history. His covenant is a divinely created bond predicated on a relationship. So when God talks about a covenant, he's talking about going deeper with him relationally in order to have a greater experience of him because you're operating in this official bonded relationship. Dr. Tony Evans puts it simply, a special agreement that God makes with his people, a divinely created relational bond through which God reveals himself and administers his kingdom program. What are the benefits of a covenantal relationship? Let me tell you, we get covenantal love. It means that he's bound himself to us. It means that he's committed himself to us to care for us, to protect us, and to lead us to heaven. The fact that it's an eternal covenant, it means that he will remain committed to us. See, so we have this covenantal relationship, and I don't think until you really come into a relationship with God, we understand fully what love is, unconditional love. Because to have someone who went all the way to die on the cross for us so that we could live free, I don't know many people outside of maybe my parents that would risk their lives for me. Maybe Melly. But he bore our sin, you know? And then through that, we receive covering. What is covering? Covering is to come under. Covering is to submit. And here's the reality. My first point is this. God is a God of order, right? And so we need to understand that through covenant relationship comes covering, and through covering comes the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to go out and outwork the purposes that God has ordained for us, okay? And honestly, single ladies in the room, and then single men, I'm going to talk to you in just a moment. But single ladies, can I just tell you, like, as a single woman, It has been so beautiful to understand the concept of covering, the concept of actually submitting and surrendering and serving the authority that is above me. And actually that has provided such blessing and such covering. And it's actually through that that I have been able to see the fullness of God's plan and purpose for my life. And now, to the single men, who is the authority that you're coming under, right? Like when we're looking to partnership, the woman is looking, who are you coming under? Because when I see who you're coming under, that actually tells me whether or not it is safe or whether or not it is okay for me to submit to you. Now, how does this even partner when it comes to marriage? Can I just say, being on the sideline, you learn a lot, okay? So don't discount yourself as a single person in the room. Man, make the most of this season, okay? Like, yeah, even when it comes to the marriage, I've loved my best friends. They just got married, and it's been the sweetest thing to watch. One, the way that ex pursued her, but now the way that Mel has been able to just completely disarm and come under because she knows who he's living his life submitted to, if that makes sense. So anyways, that was a sidebar, but I felt the need to share that with you all. So I said God is a God of order, right? How many of us are actually walking through this life, walking through this earth, trying to figure out what on Mother Earth is my purpose? What on earth? And you know what we're doing? I said affairs of the heart. We're trying to figure things out. We're trying to conjure things up on our own that we absolutely cannot. We cannot do this without hearing and knowing the voice of God. So we have to live in relationship with him. We have to come under him. We have to be willing. Before God could actually give you divinely his plan and purpose for your life, he has to know, I am a willing vessel that is surrendered and submitted to you. And now that I have lived my life surrendered and submitted, I could actually, he can entrust us with the heavenly download to say, hey, here's actually what I've purposed and fashioned and put you on this earth to go out and do. Amen? Amen. Whew, I'm fired up. So, okay, these covenants, something so important to know is that there are multiple covenants that were made throughout the Bible, right? When we read the Old Testament, there was a Mosaic covenant, which we're going to talk about. There was a covenant he made with Noah. There was a covenant he made in the garden with Adam and Eve. And I love that in the Old Testament, we actually see the prophecy of what is to come in the New Testament, okay, through Jeremiah. And so I want to read to us from Jeremiah 31 to 34. And it says, look, the days are coming, this is the Lord's declaration, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. This one will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors on the day I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, even though I am their master, the Lord's declaration. Instead, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, the Lord's declaration, I will put my teaching within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will one teach his neighbor or his brother saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me from the least to the greatest of them. This is the Lord's declaration, for I will forgive their iniquity and never again remember their sin. So get this. If you read, when you read the Old Testament, you know what inspired this message was I was sitting one day and I was reading through Numbers, and it wrecked me to know that Aaron and Moses, it just hit me differently. I was sitting there one day and I'm like, wow, Aaron and Moses, they labored and they worked, but they didn't get to cross over. And there was a specific passage that I want to read to us. It's Numbers 20:12, and it said, but the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. See, God made a covenant with his people, and he told them, hey, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to free you. And a covenant is essentially an agreement. And there was nothing wrong with the agreement. It was actually, if you read through the Old Testament, it was the people's hearts. It was in their hearts they could not obey, they could not surrender, they could not submit, so they began to worship other idols, affairs of the heart. If I were to give you another point, it would be call out the sacred stones. What are the things in your life? When you read in Numbers, that entire, it's such a beautiful book because it's the people that are It's two generations that we see in this book of the Bible. It's one who did not get to make it, but it's the next that's being released into the promised land. And in that, who is bridging that? It's Moses. And he's essentially telling the people, hey, like, lay down, follow the Lord your God wholeheartedly. Follow the Lord your God wholeheartedly. Bring out every sacred stone. Bring out every single thing that is potentially going to separate you from the heart of God. Put it to rest, because there are better things for you on the other side. Do you all believe that God has better things for you on the other side? Do you actually believe? Some of us are entertaining these relationships. Some of us are entertaining these. I believe even in this room right now that there are, what are they, contracts. They're coming in from employers, and you're wrestling in your heart, do I take this job or not? And you know it in your heart that God said, do not take that, put it down. But we're wrestling like, God, can I really trust you? Call out the sacred stones. What is the affair in your heart? Is the affair in your heart your bank account? Is the affair in your heart the husband? Is the affair in your heart your actual spouse? You know, we could put so much weight on these things that they're not meant to sustain or bear, that we actually fracture them, when the one who is intended to carry it is the Lord our God. So how do I actually turn my heart from this and give it to God? When I look at the prodigal son, his heart, he was in the house, but his heart was turned away from God. You know what broke the father's heart was that, hey, everything I have is yours, but you missed it. Everything he has is yours. Don't miss it. Man, I labor on that, because if we don't understand the power of God's covenantal love and relationship, we're going to keep going through this life unfulfilled. And you know what happens when we're unfulfilled? We grow bitter. We grow distracted. And we find ourselves in the front row asking questions like, God, have you forgotten about me? And I say this transparently and with all humility, because I think sometimes as Christians or people who have been following the Lord, we cannot fall victim to those things. But, you know, we can. Familiarity is a trap. Hope deferred is a trap. Hebrews 8, 7 to 13, a superior covenant. So I love this. Now we're in the New Testament. This is about to get so good, and I'm excited. Are y'all fired up? I feel like I had to set the stage. I got 7 minutes, and I'm about to blow your mind. Do you believe that? Actually, the word of God is going to blow your mind, not me. So it says a superior covenant, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, because essentially this is now the Old Testament in the New Testament, right? Hebrews is just referencing Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34, but I do want to read the top verse 7. It says, for if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion for a second one. But finding fault with his people, he says, and he goes into saying, see, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their ancestors. Down to the bottom it says, and each person, no, actually it says this, I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And each person will not teach his fellow citizen and each his brother or sister saying, know the Lord, because they will know me. They will all know me, from the least to the greatest of them, for I will forgive their wrongdoing, and I will never again remember their sins. I will forgive their wrongdoing, and I will never again remember their sins. By saying a new covenant, he has declared that the first is obsolete, and what is obsolete and growing old is about to pass away. I'm going to zip through these points super quickly. So I told you my first point was God is a God of order. My second point is burn every idol and call out every sacred stone in your life. My third is stop questioning God's goodness and seek refuge in his presence. Do you know how much time we waste asking, wondering, like, God, are you for me? God, are you with me? If we were to actually just sit and rest in his presence, you know that he will reveal things to us. You know what I believe? Sometimes we're so quick to read the word, and we were like, yes, we got this fresh revelation, and we want to move so quickly to application. It's like, wait. Did you hear exactly how he told you to apply that word? Did you hear exactly how he wants to direct and edit every single step? Slow down. Sit in the presence of the Lord. And number four, there's always a way back home. Though we wander, there's always a way back to Jesus. That's the most beautiful part of this story with the prodigal son, was that though he wandered, there was a way back to the Father's heart. Why does this matter? Why is this crazy lady shouting about all of these things? See, the ultimate fulfillment of the new covenant, it was Jesus. Which everything that we do on a Sunday, it is to point us back to Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. And can I testify for a second? Yeah, I want to share a little bit of my story with you all, because I think sometimes we could hear someone up here and we hear the revelation and it just goes right over our heads. We're like, man, that's well and good for you, but how does this impact my life? You're not going to be with me when I walk out of these doors. So my hope is that through sharing this, it actually would give you some faith and some courage to face Monday with faith, to face Monday, lock eyes with God, and actually give the devil his marching orders, because he's not going to bully you around anymore. So the reality is, 12 years ago, I got saved in this place. And I was joking about being of the streets, but truly, like, I was outside, and not because I enjoyed it, but because I was looking for fulfillment, honestly. And, man, a few weeks ago, we actually celebrated my dad's, like, 67th birthday. Sorry, Dad, I don't remember. But that birthday was extremely sweet, because I experienced God's redeeming power. Because for so long, I was so angry at my dad. I grew up with both parents. They're married, still married to this day. And though my dad, physically home, physically in the house, his heart was distant. And all I wanted from my dad was, Dad, do you love me? Will you celebrate me? And the only time my dad and I ever really had interactions was when he was correcting or telling me what I wasn't doing right. And I say this now because I don't fault my dad. I have so much love and grace. I know that he did the best that he could to love us, to support us, to give us the life that we deserve. But through that, I honestly started looking for just fulfillment, for love in all of the wrong places. And so I found myself in relationship after relationship. And, you know, a relationship just before People Church. God is so good. It was, you know, abusive in many ways. And I made decisions that I was not proud of. And I come into this environment, and my pastor every week would look at me and I would leave crying. Because every time he locked eyes with me, he would speak into my worth. He would speak into my value. And I didn't know what that was like. But I also would leave there thinking, like, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the decisions that I made. And you don't know what I'm about to go do when I leave here. To put it plainly. But you know what I did know? Was that while I didn't have it all figured out, there was something about this church thing. There was something about this hope thing. There was something about when I would come into this room on a Sunday, I felt like I could breathe again. There was something about being in a company of people that would just speak life and encouragement over me that made me feel like, wait, I might be purposed for more. I might be fashioned for more. And when I get to come up here and hold a mic, I don't take it lightly. And if anything, I'm like, man, God, let me lay my whole life out on this altar, because if it is for one person to draw close to you, it is worth it, God. If it is for one person to actually put the bottle down, if it is for one person to actually put the worry down, if it is for one person to go home and reconcile, God, my transparency, it is worth it, God. My discomfort, it is worth it, God. Let me tell you about what happened through this new covenant. So it says, why does this new covenant being established through Jesus matter? It was the fulfillment of the prophecy. We see Jesus as a mediator between Christ and humanity, so that when God sees us, he actually doesn't see our iniquity. He doesn't see our fault. He sees us blemish free, because he sees us through the eyes of his son. He was a sacrificial atonement. You know that with a covenant in the Old Testament, it required a blood sacrifice. That's what sealed it. And Jesus served as the ultimate seal when he sat on that cross, his body broken, his body bruised, his blood being poured out for us. He saw you in this seat today. And it was worth it. You were worth it. Sometimes we just have to come back to church to hear, we're worth it. I can go again. I'm not too far gone. The mistake wasn't too great. There's always a way back home. That was my fourth point. There's always a way back home. Through that, now there are promises and benefits and an eternal inheritance. See, I'm sick of seeing the world and people like trying to get their cues from the world. You know, as Christians, we have more power. We have more access. We have more authority. And it's not in our own works. No, it is by submitting to the covering of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to empower us and tell us, hey, this is how I want you activated on Monday. Hey, this is how I want you activated on Tuesday. Bring the news. What's the story that your life is going to tell? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of hearing Christians feeling like they're being cheapened, or this life is so hard, or God isn't hearing me, or God isn't listening. That is a freaking lie. Get up. Get up. Get up. Don't be lazy. Speak to the things. Speak to the fear. Get in your word. Dive in your word. What does God say about you? He didn't die on that cross so that you could live this cheap little life. No, he died on the cross and rose again. Actually, he went to get the keys and rose again so that you can live not just free, but that you can live abundantly, that you can live fulfilled, that you can live whole. He died so that we could be free. Free to hope again, free to dream again, free to swing our arms. You know something I want to share? When I was reading Numbers, something that stood out to me was, though Moses didn't make it, he was given a clear order to help the people. His mission wasn't done till he helped Joshua get across. And I believe there are people in this room who feel like, I failed the assignment. I failed the original assignment you gave me, God, so I don't know how you're going to use me, but you still have orders. Get up and get before the Lord and hear your order, okay? Because we need you for the next generation, okay? You are gonna help that next generation get into the promised land. Do you believe that? Come on. As I close, I just have one more point. If you took anything of this message and the story of the prodigal son and God's covenantal love, know this, the pain of parting is nothing compared to the joy of meeting again. God is so ready to meet his people again. Do you believe that? Amazing. All over this room, will you stand to your feet? I'm going to invite up Pastor Chris.
Come on, why don't we thank Pastor Eva for that message? Interesting Sunday. Jake and Eva both talking on matters of the heart. Not connected, not a brief given by me, just a brief, if you will, by God, the Holy Spirit, knowing who's going to be in the room. And I want to encourage you, Eva, you keep preaching the word, because people can't call on the name of Jesus unless it's preached. And Jake, you keep teaching the word, because people can't live what they don't know. And every gift matters in the house. But I want to just sit on that title for a second, Affairs of the Heart. Let's just stop on the word affair for a minute. In order for there to be an affair, there must be somebody seeking something outside of where they should have devotion. So she's right, affairs of the heart. Because I'll tell you where your heart belongs. There'd be many a family that have prayed for hearts to come home. Well, God has prayed many a moment. God has thought, desired at least, better said, for a heart to come home, and that heart is yours. There's a concept in the Bible called redemption, to bring back. Well, you can't bring back something that doesn't originally have a place that it should belong. Yeah, our hearts are engaged in affairs. There's devotion to a God who loves us, a God who wants to take care of us, a God who's got good for us, but we're out here running for every other idol, every other thing that might fulfill it. And the reality is that a lot of the time we don't preach the balance of holy living, meaning I'm going to devote myself to the things of God. counterbalanced by the reality of our God's heart is to bless you so much that the world around you would realize that there is something different about you, and that difference maker, the delineator, the point of difference is God Himself. So when we're talking about affairs of the heart, you know, this week I was listening to some teachings, and it is said within rabbinical circles that the greatest distance in the universe is from the head to the heart. What does that mean? This is what I think it means. I think it means that your heart wants things that your head cannot answer. I think your heart wants a savior that your head can't reconcile, because your head has limits. Your head can't figure out this Jesus thing. And I'm not going to claim it's not crazy. It is an unseen God that is absolutely findable, who has paid a price for you and me, because without it, you and I will keep searching. And the human experience could not be better described than the difference of the distance between the head and the heart. We look, search, we desire, we want, much like the prodigal son, and our head cannot reconcile the reality. But you know what miracle is taking place right now as I speak? People that couldn't make sense of Jesus, couldn't make sense of salvation, couldn't make sense of Christianity, all of a sudden are finding themselves wanting what was preached. Why? Because when Jesus died on the cross, He gave us the gift and the ability for the greatest miracle to take place, referenced by Jake in the first message, that our heart of stone, aka stubbornness, aka I don't need God, aka that's for the weak, all of a sudden a miracle takes place where what never made sense, what was never appealing, all of a sudden means and becomes absolutely clear with a whole bunch of ambiguity. I don't know what the Savior means. I don't know all there is to know, but I know I need it. I know that I want it. All of a sudden I am inclined and impressed to come towards a God who is calling my name. The affair needs to come to an end, because I'll tell you what happens. When you live in two places, you actually start to fracture. And what the truth would be told is that God's got a plan for you, and it is wholeness. He's got a plan for you, and it is forgiveness. He's got a plan for you, and it's joy. He's got a plan for you, and it's peace. And the greatest thing we can understand is that all it takes is a walking away from all the other things that we have deemed saviors, and they're not. They're just coping mechanisms. They're just things that our finite minds can reconcile as an answer for now. But I think we need to follow our heart home. That's what I want to say to you tonight, this morning, sorry. Doesn't all make sense all the time, but I'm just going to ask you, will you follow your heart home this morning? Your heart's being just inclined to say yes to this message. And this is what the Bible says. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died and rose again, you shall be saved. So all over this room, if you're saying, Chris, that's me. I can't make sense of it, but I'm more emotional than I've ever been. Chris, I can't make sense of it, but I want to say yes to Jesus this morning. So on the count of three, if you're saying, Chris, that's me, I want to say yes to Jesus. I believe in my heart that He died and rose again for me. Then on the count of three, I'm going to get you to raise your hand all over this place. Maybe you're coming home from a distant place. Maybe your feet have been here every Sunday, but your heart has been cold. And today you're saying, Jesus, I'm coming home. No more mediocrity for me. No more cold for me. No more sitting in seats. I'm going to make steps towards the things that you have for me. God, I know you singled me out today. So you're either making a recommitment this morning, or you're saying yes to Jesus for the first time. Either way, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to bring you down the front. But I do want to know who I'm praying for. Because the Bible says this: if you acknowledge me before man, I'll acknowledge you before my Father. Meaning Jesus doesn't do the down low. He died publicly so that you would confess Him publicly. So if you're in this place, you're saying, Chris, that's me. I'm ready to come home. I'm going to follow my heart back home. If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand front to back, left to right. 1, 2, 3, go. All over this room. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. That one, that one, that one, that one. 3 here. 2. Another one, another one, another one, another one, another one, another one over there. Another one back here, another one up there, another one up there. People all over, another one up there, another one up there. People say yes to Jesus all over this place. Can we give God a mighty shout of praise for the miraculous power to bring people home? Amen. Hey, if you raise your hand, let me tell you this. You did not just cross a finish line. You started a journey. And the Bible tells us that we will outwork our salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? It is a healthy dose of respect that we are more inclined to follow what God says over our life than we are to take matters into our own. It is a growing, it is a changing, it is a slow turn, but it nevertheless is a journey. I want to tell you this, since it is not a finish line, this is not where it ends. This is where it starts. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to invite Jesus in our heart as our Lord and Savior. The confession of your mouth gives marching orders to many things over your life and makes a declaration. You are no longer your own. You are no longer the world's, but you are God's. And when you come under big authority, it comes with great power that God will move things in your life you couldn't move on your own. This prayer is significant. So all over this room, front to back, left to right, I want you to repeat this after me. I want you to pray this and speak it over your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I thank you. You forgive me of all my sin. I have a hope, a future, and a destiny through a relationship with Jesus. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen.